The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I want to challenge you guys today. How many of y'all have a life verse? Does anybody have a life verse? Y'all know what I mean by, all right, so here's a life verse. A life verse is a passage of scripture that you kind of go back to time and time again. It stays with you. My life verse is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's my life verse. It's on my surfboards. It's all over everything. Like, that's my verse that, like, from the time I was in high school, probably about y'all's age, all the way through now, I've wanted to keep that verse with me as part of my life verses. But then as I got older, I started to develop other life verses, and I found other verses. Job 14:7, there's hope for a tree that's been cut down that it will grow roots and sprout again, is another one of my life verses. And so there are verses that you and I will find throughout our life that kind of stick with us. They kind of dig down deep into our being, and they become part of who we are. And so I want to challenge you guys to find a life verse. Find a verse that is meaningful, impactful to you, but not just right now, but that's going to stay with you through difficult times or through even great times. And this morning, I want to point to one of those verses that has become a life verse for me. It's Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, I said this has become a life verse to me because it has a couple elements in this verse that capture my attention and kind of stand out to me. The first thing it tells me is what Mike and Sammy talked about this morning. Sammy, you inspired me. I almost took my shoes off and preached, but that'd be rough on y'all, so I don't want to do that. But it talks about wise, living a wise life. How many of you guys want to be foolish? Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, we have moments. Everybody has those moments, right? You kind of just want to, like, I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to adult today. I just want to watch golf all day, or I want to watch LSU baseball beat Florida. You know, like, I don't want to do anything today. I just want to be immature for a day, right? But we wouldn't say I want to be unwise, because unwise comes into, well, making bad investments, making bad decisions, doing all kinds of different things. And so none of us aspire to be unwise with our life. And so the first thing then is it captures that, because it tells me this is how to be wise. You make the most of every opportunity. Well, I like that too, because again, one of my prayers for my kids that I pray with my kids is that they would live every single moment of their life with everything they have for Christ. That's something that I want to do. I want to live every single moment I have for Christ. Another thing it tells me is that the days are evil. That's intriguing to me. What does that mean? Does that mean that the world we live in 2023 in the United States is evil? How would Paul know that, writing this all the way back when he wrote this in the first century? What does that mean, the days are evil? So this verse captured a lot to me, but what it means to me more than anything is how you and I should make good investments for our life. Because that's what it's talking about, is making good investments. Because if we make good investments, then regardless of how evil the days are, regardless of how short our time is, we're getting a good return. Now, this morning I want to talk to you guys about the best investment. If you came here wanting to know financial advice, I'm not it. Sorry. If you heard best investment and you were like, oh man, John's going to give us, get a piggy bank. That's the best thing I can tell you to do. I don't know. But the best investment to me isn't your money, because I believe that your most valuable resource is your time. And here's what I mean by that. Your time is your most valuable resource. Resources are given value based on four things. Is it renewable? Is it tradable? Can it be substituted, and is it durable? That's how resources are given value. So we're in oil country, right? Oil business is big around here. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, kind of. Yeah, all right. We're in oil country. The reason oil is valuable is because it reaches and it meets these four things. It's not necessarily renewable, or if it is renewable, it's a very long time for it to be renewed. It's tradable. Yeah, we can trade oil for different things, and so it becomes more valuable. It can't be substituted. Regardless of whether or not it's synthetic or it's real oil or whatever it is, crude oil, there's still a part of oil that has to be in each one of those things. And so even the substitutable things aren't possible without the original. Is it durable? Yeah, it can hold up to different things. And so, if that's the case, your time is the most valuable thing that you have. Is your time renewable? Nope. Can't renew it. Is it tradable? Absolutely. You get paid by a job, right? You get paid as a driving instructor. You get paid as a doctor. You get paid to build buildings, right? Do they pay you for that? Do they pay you for your knowledge? No. They pay you for your time. You don't believe me? How many of you guys have ever had first day on the job with somebody? Y'all know what I mean? That person walks in, they've got all these degrees, and they've got a long list of things behind their name. And what is the very first thing that every company does as soon as they walk in the door? You have to go to something called training. Why do I have to go to training? I've spent my past 4, 6, 9 years learning this. Why do I need to go to training? Because it's not how we do it here. And so they're not necessarily paying you for your knowledge, because if that was the case, then when you walked out of school, you'd have all the knowledge you needed and you'd be able to walk right in and do the job that they wanted you to do. But they don't. They train you because they're paying you for your time. Can it be substituted? Can you substitute your time? Not really. Y'all ever have... I'm the parent that does this, so I'll point my fingers at me. If you notice my two younger kids today, they have a backpack or a suitcase that they're wheeling around. It's got pictures and crayons and stuff in it. Do you know why I can't say no when I buy my kids everything? It's because I try to substitute time that I can't spend with them for gifts that I give them. Is it the same thing? It's not. In my head, it makes me feel better about myself. But it's not necessarily substitutable. Is it durable? Yeah, time's pretty durable. In other words, Scripture tells us this. You get a set amount of time. It's durable. It's fixed. The time that you have, the time that I have, is fixed. God has ordained that you and I are going to live exactly how long you and I are going to live, and not a moment longer. It's pretty durable. So if time is our most valuable resource, then going back to that verse, a couple of other verses that just tell you a little bit about time. It is appointed for people once to die, and then after this comes judgment. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go and we'll do this or that in this city, and we'll spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why do you even know why? You don't even know what tomorrow will be like. What is your life but you are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we'll do this or we'll do that. As it is, you boast in all your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Love that passage of Scripture for multiple reasons, but can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Those are verses that teach us time is very valuable. It's actually the most valuable thing that you and I have. That passage in James, Miss Bonnie and I talked about this a bunch this week. Last week, this was actually the scripture I was going to preach last week. And then this week, when I had a whole other week, I said, no, I need to start from scratch, and I need to go over, and I need to do another sermon and get ready for it. And I said, I'll save that one for next year's Father's Day, and then I'll be a year ahead. Like, I'm never ahead of time. And then I started to realize, and I started to get convicted about that, because I have no idea if I'll be here next year. In my head, I want to be here. There's no place else I'd rather be, but God only knows. And so why should I save something good that I'm going to do for tomorrow? I need to do it now. All right, so with that idea that time is your most valuable resource, Don't make foolish investments. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 says this, don't participate in worthless or unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. Don't set your foot on a path of wicked or walk in the ways of evildoers is what Solomon tells you in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 14. When we think of time as our most valuable investment, it makes me wonder if the things and the people that I'm investing in are good investments. If I'm making good investments or if I'm making foolish investments. Well, how am I? What is a foolish investment? A foolish investment is you're pouring into your job instead of your family. That you got to work, you got to get paid. I'm not saying that, but I read a study this week on of the 32 national nations or nations that are considered to be civilized. I don't want to say civilized, but what I don't know, America. Developed. There it is. Thank you so much. I knew there was a word. I just couldn't find it. Of the 32 developed nations around the world, Americans work 12. They're 12th in line for hours worked per week. You know, that tells me we work a lot of hours a week. How many of y'all work just 40, the bare minimum? How many of you work over 40 hours a week? Or you worked over 40 hours a week when you... Yeah. Why? Because we think, oh man, we've got to invest here because this company needs this. We need this. This is how it's important. This is how my life's going to be gained meaning and impact in different things is by how much time I put into work. But can I share a secret with you, church? When you leave, guess what? That company keeps right on rolling. I'm a pastor. Do you know... I used to work 65 hours at our last church. I have records of it. I kept my records of my hourly log. And every week, there were weeks I would put in 60 to 65 hours of work at church. You know what happened when I left? On my way out the door, the next guy was walking right in behind me. Never missed a beat. Never shed a tear. Man, they just kept right on plugging. Your company's the same way. And what I realized during that is that I missed time with my family because of that. I missed time with my kids. I missed time with my wife. All because I was putting in the hours. I was making the investment of my time over here where I thought I needed to. But I was probably making a foolish investment. From the viewpoint that once your time is gone, you can never get it back. Are the things and the people that you're investing in worth investing in? Y'all ever, this was something that blew my mind. And yeah, I guess I've got time to share this. How many of y'all ever have this thought? I'm going to stay up late and then I'm going to do what in the morning? Sleep in? Huh? Anybody sleep in, people? Yeah, if I'm going to stay up late, I'm going to sleep in the morning. Do you know that it's not true? You can't get sleep back. Once it's gone, it's gone. I learned that doing lock-ins, by the way. Hate lock-ins. You stay up all night and your thought is, oh, the next day I'll sleep and I'll get that back. No, actually what I do is I just sleep and I use that time that I would have been doing something else the next day sleeping and I lose that time. It's gone. Your time, you have a certain amount of it. You don't get any more of it, and then it's gone. Regardless of how much we think or we want to get it back, once it's gone, it's gone. You will never get the 30 minutes that I've been up here-ish back again. I'm so grateful that you spend it here with me every week, but you'll never get that time back. You've invested it here, or you've invested it someplace else. So, what things and people are you investing in your life? And how can we make sure that we're making the best investment? I think it's time for us to look at how we're investing. Ephesians, again, chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I think the very first thing we have to look at is what we're investing in carry the potential or the value to be greatly, to generate great results. Is what you're doing, is what you're spending your time doing, have the value to generate great results? What's a great result? 25 kids got saved. It's a pretty good result. We spend time doing things that generate no results, that simply get us through the day. Another thing I think we have to look at is, are we spending our time where it will make the most impact? Another one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, say this: Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize? Run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do so to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, and I do not box as if boxing the air. Is where you're spending your time, where you're not even spending, where you're investing your time, investing it to make the most impact? How many of you, anybody love their quiet time? I was talking to Eugene earlier. Nap time at my house is quiet time. Everybody goes, everybody's quiet. That's the only chance I get to watch whatever TV show or whatever thing I want to watch, is because usually everybody's quiet. And I love that time. But if all I do is seclude myself because I need quiet time, am I making any impact? No. Where's the impact? It's in the chaos. It's in the room full of Barbies and Legos. It's playing in the kitchen that I don't do anything in. I just sit there and let them fix me food. That's where the impact's made. In your life, are you living, investing your time in your work, in your hobbies, in your private time, in your quiet time? Listen, if I step on your toes, I love you, and it's not because I'm trying to be mean. But kids run your life. I see it every week. We'd love to come to church this week, Pastor. We got ball games. You got ball games? Yep. Jimmy's going to be the next all-star. Jimmy's 4 years old and can't tie his shoes. No, he's going to be an all. He's going to play at the big leagues one day. Oh, okay. I hope that investment pays off for you. Because if it doesn't, what you've done is you've just invested time that you'll never get back into something that's not going to leave a bit of an impact in the world at all. Is your investment does it have the most impact? And the last question I have for you is, how you invest your time, will it receive the most return? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Don't lay for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal them. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy, and thieves don't break in and steal it. See, we're told in Scripture that the real investments that matter, that count, that give us great results, great returns, and actually increase in profit are investments of people. Investments in the lives of individuals. Investments in husbands and wives and your kids and your grandkids. Those are the investments that mean the most. And you say, awesome, that's great. Thank you so much. Best investment. And you got us out of here 5 minutes early. Preacher, we love you. Thank you so much. I love you guys too. But there's also one more verse in that Matthew passage. If you look on your notes, it says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Church, if I can ask you to do me a favor this morning, if you'll answer one question for me. Where do you spend your time? Where you spend your time tells me what's valuable to you. If it's at work, is work more valuable to you than people, than your relationship with God, than your family? Listen, I'm not advocating stay at home and don't go to work, because I understand we have to work. We need money. We have those things. I get it. But who's determining the value or how much time you're investing at work? You or somebody else? Is all your time spent at the ball field? Listen, I love sports, and I don't care who knows it. I love sports. But man, there was a time in my life when football became too much. I'm sorry. I've never told her that. I coached football for 7 years. I would get off work. I would go to school. I would be at school until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I would come home. I would put my kids to bed. I would go to sleep. I would wake up the next day and I would do the same thing again. And sports became my life. And I said I was doing it because I was investing in students, and it was, but it wasn't the best investment. But when I look at my life, I can say I knew what was important to me at that time was that and not my family. And I've got to answer for it. I can't get it back. But now I've got to move forward, and I've got to realize I've got to make better investments in the future. Church, where are you spending your time? Where are you investing in? Is it worth it? Because you're using your most valuable resource and you're giving it to things that do not matter at all. God, I thank you for the individuals that are here this morning. And Lord, I don't know. This message gets me. Because God, I've been foolish with my investment of my time. I haven't made the most of it. So Lord, I want to be the first one to admit, to confess before you, to ask your forgiveness for making foolish investments with my time. God, I know that this is faithful people. They're here on Sunday. They don't have to be. But God, I pray if there are those in this room that have been making foolish investments with their time, that God, during this time, they would commit to you that they're going to invest their time wisely, where it will make an impact, where it will generate great results, and where it will have the best return for them. Because, Father, like that verse said, the days are evil. That's not a condition of the world we live in. That's the fact that time ticks on. We can never get it back. But we can invest it for your glory in a world that needs to see you. So, God, my prayer during this invitation is just that. If there are individuals in this room that need to make a commitment to invest their time where it matters most, that you would have that conversation with them, Lord, that they would commit with that to you today. If they need to find a friend or a family member, if they need to come and pray with me to solidify that commitment, God, my prayer is that they would be obedient to what you're calling them to do during this time. Father, I love you. I thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.com. mooringsport.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.